Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray, everyone. Father, we thank you for your grace. We are what we are by the grace of God. And it is by your grace that we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, but it is the gift of God. This morning, by your grace, we've gathered. And this morning, by your grace, we are ready to receive your word. Your word is life. Your word is power. Your word brings healing. Your word transforms life. There are great miracles in your word. And today, as your word comes forth, may your spirit take the word, the Rhema word, and turn it, take the Logos, the written word, and turn it into Rhema for your people. And let it speak to something specific in our lives. May we be transformed and changed by your word today, in Jesus' mighty name. And let everyone say, amen. Amen. Clap unto the Lord, my people. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Would you please turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we want to read verse 1 and 2. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Can you underline that bit in your Bible? A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. We're going to read a few scriptures, so please come along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 9. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. Next verse. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. So take note of it. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, it was God who made it grow, or it was God who brought the increase, or it was God who brought the harvest. Verse 7. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Verse 9. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. John chapter 4, verse 35. We start from that and read through to verse 38. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. So obviously, he's not talking about a farm of maize or wheat or cassava. He's talking about the field of souls and the harvest reaped from that field of souls. He continues, what joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. So you can see a certain recurring statements about planting and harvesting. So take note of that. Verse 38. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather their harvest. Beautiful scriptures. Two more. Psalms 126, verse 5 to 6. Psalms 126, verse 5 to 6. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with their harvest. Hallelujah. One final scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. Part of it was read during the offering time. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Again, you can see harvest, plant, harvest, plant, plant, harvest. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. The last verse. So, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. I have a confession to make. Last Sunday after church, I was not a very happy person. And those who know me quite well will know that there was something wrong. But the reason why I wasn't happy was because I had expected that after every effort that we had put in into the month of community outreach and social impact, we should be seeing some powerful results by now. Do you understand where my frustration was coming from? Yeah, so when I left church that day, I wasn't happy and I really felt discouraged as a pastor. Now, I am not interested in numbers for numbers' sake. I am not interested in having a very large church just for the sake of it, just to make a name for myself. I lost that thing some years ago. That's not what I'm interested in at all. I'm not interested in that at all. But you see, I understand that whenever we are focusing as a church on outreach and evangelism, the numbers that show up is a reflection of whether the church members have worked or not. Does that make sense? Yes. So if, for example, we say we are having an extraordinary outreach effort and the aim is to fill the church, because we are believing that as you invite people and you bring them in and the word of God is ministered, the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts, some will be converted, and souls will be won into the kingdom of God, which is our objective. It's about carrying out the master's wishes, and it is about souls being won into the kingdom of God, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So when I talk about bringing people to church, it is not just to fill the church for filling the church's sake. And I believe that the more people there are, the more likelihood there will be that some will be touched by the word of God, will be converted, and will become the people of God. Am I making sense to all of us? Yeah. So, like I said, I wasn't very happy. But you know, later on that evening, I believe that the Spirit of God spoke to me and convicted me, because he led me to some scriptures. And he spoke to me about things that I already knew, but I had not focused on that when I thought about what had happened in the course of the day. And what he impressed on my heart is what I am going to share with you today. And I'm sharing it to encourage all of us. So the way I started, I'm sure you said in your head that this man is coming to face us. That he's coming to give it to us. I didn't come here to give anything to anybody. I came here this morning to encourage us that however it is, we must press on and continue with our mandate of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, of winning souls and discipling those souls. Can I have an amen from Jesus? From you, I beg your pardon, an amen for Jesus. And I think I'm speaking to maybe three categories of people here, three main categories of people. I'm speaking to those of you who did not put in any effort at all during this month of community outreach and social impact to invite somebody to church, to share the good news with somebody, to try and win some souls. Christabel, why are you smiling broadly? All right? You know what is going on in your head. So I know that there are people like that. Now, I'm speaking to you, if you fall into that category, that I'm not judging you, I'm not condemning you, but I'm believing that as you hear the word of God today, it will stir up something in your heart. And that there'll be a new resolution inside you, that what Jesus saved you for, you will start working towards it. Hallelujah. Do you know that you are an ambassador? Yes, you are. Tell the person sitting by you, I've told you that from today, call me honorable. Because I am an ambassador. I can see that you don't respect me. So every time you call me, you just mention my name, chaka, like that. Kwejo, Abena, Ajua. From today, call me honorable. Because I am an ambassador of Christ Jesus. Come on, clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. If you are an ambassador of a nation, wherever you've been sent to, whichever country you've been sent to, you are supposed to represent the interests of the sending country to that place you have been assigned. That's your goal. That's your objective. So if the Ghana government sends you to Japan, he has not sent you there to go and look into how you can export Toyota and televisions and... Which televisions are made in Japan? Panasonic? Whatever. That's not the reason why you've been sent there. Is that not so? So if an ambassador is sent to Japan, and then all the time he's looking at what deals he can get to ship cars to Ghana, to go to the factories, they've discarded some televisions, you go and negotiate for them and ship them to Ghana. It's just a oh yeah business. There is something very wrong with you. Is that not so? Hey. And I think that God gets very sad when he looks at us. There's a reason why after we got saved, he did not eject us out of here. I think I've said this to you many times.
It's because we have work to do. Because Abrabon eshe. Yeah, you may say sayado, baby, but it's not easy for a lot of people. In this Ghanaian economy, it's not easy at all. I was talking to one of our aunties in Nigeria, and I was asking her that how is life in Nigeria? She says, Ayetare. You know, it's like the same sort of challenges we have here, we have in that place. And you see, Nigerians are more than we are. So when the issues are a lot, they are compounded compared to us. You know? If God did not have a reason for us being here on earth, I can assure you that as soon as you give your life to Christ, you just vanish into heaven where there is no pain. How many would like to go to a place where there's no more pain? Some of you are not even lifting your hand. Because I don't know what you are thinking, that I'm coming to say something. Hey! A Christopher Abba. Mumpe heaven ako. Mupesa mutina heya. And there are some people. The other time I asked, they said they want to marry before Jesus comes. So we want to pray for them that, oh God, let them marry. So that Maranatha, you can come soon. All right. So there's a reason why we are here. Because there's work for us to do. And we are here as his ambassadors. That's what I'm saying to you this morning, that what I'm sharing with you today, I'm trusting God that if you have not been actively involved in carrying out the master's wishes and fulfilling the charge that he's given to us, something should change in you. Can I have an amen from somebody? Then the other category of people that this sermon is addressing and going to encourage has to do with those of you who made some efforts. You spoke to people, you witnessed, you invited them to church, you prayed for some people, you know, you tried to do some good to them with the hope that they were going to respond to the gospel and were going to come to church, but they swerved you. How many experienced that? You had that. All right. Yes. Yeah. Because people can swerve. Very serious swerve. So you would arrange things with them. You think that everything is set, everything is ready. Then Sunday morning, as you're going to get them, they start telling you an answer. And you know, as you're listening to what they're saying, you know that it's a cock and bull story. Everybody say cock and bull. You know. And you see, if you try to do something and you don't get the sort of results you were expecting, it has a way of discouraging you. Or perhaps you try to talk to somebody and the way they faced you, I just say, or dress up, and you know, and say, hey! Yeah. Well, sometimes you meet certain people and as you engage them, the sort of things they said, the way they received you, you know, their attitude and their resentment and suspicion, all of those things can have an effect on you and you can be discouraged. But this morning, I'm here to encourage you that you shouldn't be discouraged. Then the third category has to do with those who, by the grace of God, you've been able to work on some people. They are in church. You brought them to church. You know, when you spoke to them, they gave their life to Christ. They got born again. They are in church with you today. I want to say God bless you. But I'm saying to you that the work is not finished. There's a lot more work to be done. So don't tell yourself that I am done. I have won a soul during the month of community outreach and social impact. So I am done for the year. You are not done. Remember in one of the scriptures that I read in John chapter 4, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. The fields are ripe and are ready for the harvest. And can I tell you, my friends, that do not be deceived by the number of churches we have around. Don't be deceived. I mean, if you look at maybe just 500 meters radius of here, you find a lot of churches. If you listen quietly, you hear that there's preaching going on in our closest church our brethren, the Assemblies of God people. If you go a bit further, what's the name of that? Divine Healers. You see, churches. Turn on your television. See a lot of pastors and churches. In fact, there are more radio and TV stations that have to do with churches and pastors than all the other things. If you like, when you go back home, scan through the TV stations. Most of them are religious stations. It is very easy to be deceived by that and to think that ejumaniye ni ayasuma yensi enyenu ya yewie ejume bie ni wa yebeye biom. It's not true. It's not true at all. There are a lot of people who go to church, but they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the truth. They go to church. They've signed on to a church. They've been baptized. They received confirmation. Whatever kind of church it is, and there are some here. Usually when you say these things, people's minds go somewhere else, that those who are in that church, those who are in, don't deceive yourself. If we have really been affected by the gospel the way it is supposed to affect us, Ghana will be a better country than it is. Ghana will be a more productive country than it is. Attitudes will be better. Things will be better in our communities. Crime and corruption will reduce to the barest minimum. But this is the unfortunate truth, that the gospel hasn't changed much in us. And many people who say they are born again, they don't even understand what it means to be born again. So they go to church. And there are some people who are very religious with it. Eh? Every Sunday they are in church. But the truth is that they are not really born again. So let's not be deceived. Because when you live in a very religious country, you can get a wrong impression and feel that there's no more work to be done. So I'm just saying that for those of you who fall in the category of, you know, I was able to win some souls and I'm working on them, I've established them, they are in church. I'm saying that don't pat yourself too quickly on the back and say that mewie mejuma. Because there are more souls out there waiting to be saved. Which brings me to the title of my sermon. Sermon title, anything. So I'm sharing with you a very short sermon. The title is The Seed, The Rain, and The Harvest. The Seed, The Rain, and The Harvest. Would you please say with me, the seed, the rain, the harvest. Say it one more time, please. Hallelujah. So if you go home and somebody asks you what was preached in church today, what will be your response, my friend? And the harvest. Hallelujah. Let me share a few things with you. Number one of the important principles in the Bible is the principle of seasons. One of the important principles in the Bible. Because you are one tree. I write him. Because you I mean, shall you feel for you now. One of the important principles in the Bible is the principle of seasons. Would you say with me, the principle of seasons? And in our very first scripture that we read, it talked about that. Let's take a look at it again. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Then it goes on to describe some of the seasons. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Let's continue. A time to kill here akoko anasa ponji anase yi entontom at I said. So there's a time to kill, not another human being, okay? A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. This is a prophetic message to somebody. When you go home, there are things that you have to go and throw away from your wardrobe, from your storeroom. Am I prophesying?
Yes.
All right. A time to tear and a time to mend. Can you read it with me? Uh-huh. And a time to speak. The quarrels. A parrot. Dana Okasa. The parrot knows. There's somebody called the parrot. Hey! Wow! Can you please tell the person sitting by Eya Kasano Edos? Nteya Mwawa no Kakra. All right, and it goes on and on. So these scriptures that we've looked at are revealing a very important truth that there are seasons. There are seasons in life. And look at what God himself said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis 8, 22. He says, "As long," so this is after the flood had ended, Noah and those in the ark had found rest. He had offered a sacrifice to God. God was excited by the smell of the offering, and he swore, made a vow. This was after the rainbow had appeared and all of that, and said that I will never let flood waters destroy the earth like the way I did in the time of Noah. And then that's when God made this promise. He said, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Somebody say seasons. All right. So there is a principle of seasons at work in the Bible. So there's a season to begin. There's a season to wait. There's a season to grow. There's a season to persevere. There's a season to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And if you are a farmer, you understand this principle very well. And you know that when you plant something, you don't harvest it in the same season. So when a farmer puts seed into the ground, he doesn't go home. And then 8 hours after, he goes back to the farm and say, ah, na adiana mi dia yeni emfifi ye ewe hi wana abe farmer adienu wana ebe tutu ma adienu. No farmer does that. Then he goes the next day, same thing. Then the next day, there's no farmer who does that. Why? Because the farmer knows that things occur in seasons. And there's a principle of seasons at work in this life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The next thing that I want you to understand is that the principle of seasons can be related to evangelism as well. The principle of seasons can be related to evangelism as well. And today, this is a very important revelation that you should catch. And the purpose of it is to encourage us to do the work of the Lord and to understand that in carrying out the Great Commission, there are seasons. And so we must understand this principle of seasons in evangelism, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to be discouraged. I'm speaking to myself and to you as well. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be discouraged because we haven't yet seen certain things. Amen. Amen. And we must understand that not every season will produce the same results. If it's a season of planting, why are you expecting a harvest? If it's a season of cultivating and taking care and watering and developing what you have planted, why are you expecting a harvest? So where evangelism is concerned, the principle of seasons apply also. Number three, to understand evangelism, we must understand the agricultural seasons of biblical Israel. Don't worry, I'll say it again. To understand evangelism, soul winning, outreach, discipling people, we must understand the agricultural seasons of biblical Israel. We must understand the agricultural seasons of biblical Israel. What am I saying? Israel, God's chosen people, that we read about in the Bible, was mainly a farming society. That's what they were primarily involved in. They were into farming, crop farming, animal farming. It was the main occupation of the people. So you find out that because of that special relationship that God had with them, there are a lot of spiritual truths that you will find in the Bible that are connected to their farming seasons. So you find that the Bible uses examples and pictures of farming to bring out a lot of spiritual truth. So for example, Joel chapter 2 verse 23 to 24, Joel chapter 2 verse 23 to 24, and will you kindly give me the New King James Version, please? Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain. Everybody say the former rain. He has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Everybody say the latter rain. It continues, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats, these are containers for holding wine, shall overflow with new wine and oil. So obviously it's talking about harvest. But then it talks about the former rain and the latter rain. And then if you look at Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. Hosea 6 verse 3. It says, let us know. Alright. Okay, give me that version. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. Then look at it again. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Amen. Now, that reference to former rain and latter rain has to deal with the agricultural seasons in Israel. The Israel that we find in the Bible, which I've already said to you was predominantly a farming community. You know, when a Jew reads about the former rain and the latter rain, immediately he knows that you're talking about farming seasons or agricultural seasons. And I'll have you understand that the agricultural year for biblical Israel in the Bible, was in three major stages. And I need to explain that to you so that we can link it to really what I am sharing with you today. So there were three major stages of their agricultural year. The first stage was the seed time. Everybody say the seed time. And this was the period or the season for sowing. All right, the seed time. And usually it was between October to December, around that time. October to December was the seed time of the sowing season. The second one was the growing time. Everybody say the growing time. And this was the time for cultivating and developing what you've planted. It involves clearing weeds. It involves watering and all of those things. And that was from January to March. All right, so that was the growing time. And the last major stage was the harvest time. Would you please say with me, the harvest time? And this harvest time was the time of reaping, the season of reaping or harvesting. And usually it will fall between April and June. All right, April and June. So then usually July, August, September, around then was their dry season or the summer. Because there are two major seasons really, the summer and the winter. All right. So this describes the agricultural year of biblical Israel. Now, let's look at them. Then we'll be closing very soon. The seed time, which is the season of sowing. So then what happened was that the agricultural year will begin with the arrival of the early rain, which the Bible calls here the former rain, the early rain. And what this rain does is that it heralds the season of planting or sowing. And I've already told you it's between October to December. That's when they plant. So when the rain starts falling around that time, what we call the early rain, the farmer immediately knows that I must get ready to plant. And the rain that falls, what it does is that it softens the ground so that the farmer can plant his seed. Not just that, but it softens the ground enough for the farmer to plow the land. Because it's coming right after the dry season. The ground is very hard. So now when the rain comes, he can plow it and dig through the soil and soften it enough to be able to accept the seed, for the seed to do well. Then the farmer knows that once the ground is softened and I've been able to plow, the next thing I got to do will be to plant the seed. So the farmer understands something, that the purpose of the rain is not just merely to make the ground wet, but it is actually to prepare the ground for the seed. That's why it's raining. So it prepares the ground. Everybody say preparation. Say it again, preparation. Now, if we relate this to evangelism, I can tell you something for a fact. That usually, when people respond positively to witnessing, to an invitation to come to church, and they give their lives to Christ, and they follow you to church and all of that, it usually works because God has already prepared their hearts. So whenever you see that people readily receive and they don't struggle much with you, it's an indication that their hearts have already been prepared by the Holy Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit is compared to rain. You understand? And before somebody receives the gospel, before somebody gives his life to Jesus, before somebody will respond to your invitation to come to church and all of that, if it works, often it is because God has gone ahead of you to prepare the person's heart. So then, when you plant the seed of the word, it works. It has an effect on the person. Hallelujah. So sometimes you meet somebody and ask yourself, why did this person listen to me? You know, there are some people when you approach them, you now, as you approach the person, we share ni nipa bai no digina hona. You tell yourself that this guy is not likely to receive me well. But you'll be surprised. And you're surprised when he receives you and gives ear to you and all of that. So you can ask, why is the person listening to me? Why has the person opened his heart to Jesus? Why is the person interested in him? It is because God has already prepared the person's heart. And it is ready for the sowing. And ready for the planting. And the planting that you do at a time like that, it doesn't take too long to see the harvest also. Because understand that spiritual things are a little bit different from physical things. So by the time somebody gives his heart to Christ, where you share the gospel with the person and then the person responds immediately, it means that a lot of preparation has taken place. And when that happens, it means that it is time to plant the seed of God's word. Hallelujah. So understand that a lot of the times when we embark on outreach, evangelism, and all of these other things, what we are actually going out there to do is sowing. We are going to sow the seed of God's word, the gospel. So when you go out to preach, what are you doing? You are sowing. When you witness to somebody about Jesus, what are you doing? When you pray for someone to be saved, what are you doing? When you demonstrate the love of Jesus to somebody who has given up on life, what are you doing? You are sowing. When you tell someone Jesus loves you, what are you doing? You are sowing. So understand that anytime you do any of these things, what you are actually doing is you are sowing. And it is a season of evangelism. And if indeed you are sowing, you must also understand that the reality with a lot of sowing is that it takes time. Amen. Which is the mistake that we often make. And that's why we get discouraged. That we've gone to plant the seed of God's word, and it's like we are expecting to see the harvest immediately. This was my mistake from last Sunday. It doesn't work out like that. Sometimes it may. And you see, usually when you talk to somebody and you get a good response from the person gives his life to Christ and all of that, what is actually happening at that time is harvesting. All right? So you may actually sow, or you share the gospel with the person and the person will respond. But usually when it gets to that place, a lot of work has already been done, sometimes by somebody else. So you may come and water, and then you begin to reap the harvest from it. But the truth about sowing is that it takes time before you begin to reap the harvest. And it takes time for the seed sown to develop into a harvest. And there's such a major difference between the seed and the harvest. Such a major difference. So you can easily look at the seed and feel that it's not doing much. Because you see, you are looking for the harvest. So you don't see that the seed is anything. But let me show you something. So you see, I have here. Could be in Kanho, unfortunately. But your next time, remember, it could be Akanho. Anyway, all right. Now, these are the seeds. Are you showing it? Yeah. These are seeds. I believe. Corn seeds. All right. They are small. They don't look like much. And it will be very easy to discard them. But these seeds, as you look at them, will develop into this. And more. But it's difficult to comprehend how this can give rise to this. So you are looking for this. But the reality is that you need to go through this in order to get this. And that's why you should never discard the seed of God's word that you plant in people's heart. Sometimes when you plant the seed, it doesn't look like you've done anything. And that's when you feel discouraged. When I invited them, they didn't come. I prayed for them and nothing happened. But it's a seed. You are looking for this. But this must be planted first. And it must be given time before you can end up having this and having more. Ladies and gentlemen, there is power in the seed. And I want you to understand the seed time, the season of planting, that we should never be discouraged. When we are in a season like this, community outreach and social impact, where we put in an effort. And of course, I'm talking about you made an effort. You put in an effort. It's a different matter if you didn't do anything. But you have already addressed your problem. Do you understand? Sister. All right. I've already addressed your problem. But I'm explaining something to you that when you planted the seed of God's word and you haven't seen any results, don't ever think that nothing has happened. Look, some of the results, you yourself may never see them. Yeah. Somebody else. You see, because in one of the scriptures, it talked about Apollos has planted, Paul has watered, but God gave the increase. Sometimes, what you did was to plant the seed, but you yourself will not see the harvest. Somebody else may water the seed that you planted, and he himself may also not see the harvest. Then another person comes later on to harvest what was planted. And that's why in John chapter 4, Jesus said that I have sent you to harvest what you did not plant. And God is the Lord of the harvest. That's why it says, I, Apollos planted, I, Paul, I planted, Apollos watered, but it is God who gave the increase. Ultimately, the increase comes, and it is only God who can give the increase. But what he's expecting us to do is we should never refrain from planting. Never. Even if you don't see certain results, don't get discouraged. Don't stop planting the seed of God's word. And after the season of planting, you move on to the next stage, which is the growing time, which is the season of waiting and cultivating. All right? It includes watering. It includes clearing the weeds. You know, sometimes you have to turn the soil a bit. It includes applying fertilizer, you know, and things like that. That period is the growing time, and is a time and a season of waiting. So according to the agricultural calendar of biblical Israel, I told you that this period is approximately January to March. And during this time, the farmer just has to wait and protect the crops. And around this time, you also have what we call the winter rains. This additional rain that comes to help the growing process. And that's a time of waiting. You just wait. You've not reached the stage of harvesting. But at least you can see that there's progress. And sometimes with people that you're trying to reach for the Lord, people that you're trying to evangelize, sometimes you can see that there's some response. But in do or yet. You can see with them that it's like adrini ebefie kakra. First, when you try to reach out to them, there's a lot of resistance. There's a lot of opposition. But it's not supposed to stop you. So as you planted the seed, you have to keep watering the seed. So you've planted the seed. Talk to them about Jesus. You've invited them. You are not supposed to stop. You have to continue cultivating. You have to continue talking to the people. You have to continue inviting them. That period is the growing time. Don't just abandon the seed because you feel that nothing has happened. You don't see what is happening, but God can see everything. You may think that nothing is happening, but something is actually happening. And I want to emphasize again that sometimes you yourself will not reap or see the harvest of what you planted. So you would get to heaven one day, and then somebody will walk up to you with tears streaming down his eyes and say, "Thank you." And you'll be startled. Thank me for what? I don't know. I've never met you. I never met you on earth. Why are you thanking me? What have I done? What have I done? Or sometimes it may even be somebody you met that you may even have forgotten. But maybe you just told the person that Jesus loves you. And that thing never stopped ringing in the person's heart and in the person's mind. Now, as a pastor, I preach the word of God at various places all the time. Now, as I'm ministering now, we are streaming live. There are people listening. There are people who are going to watch this video later on. I don't know them. But I would not be surprised if I get to heaven and I meet people who were affected by the word that I preached, who were affected by the seed of God's word that I planted, but I had absolutely no idea that this is what I was doing. So somebody like me should never be discouraged when I feel that I'm not seeing, my expectations are not met, I'm not seeing the kind of harvest that I want to see, I'm not getting the kind of response I want to have from the church. I must never be discouraged. I must just continue planting the seed of God's word. And you also must continue to do that. And there's the planting season, and then there's the waiting period. And that period is not a season of visible harvest. And not every person we reach out to will immediately become a mature Christian. So people need time. Some of the people you invite to church, they come to church once and then they disappear. Like some two guys that I'm working on. Every arrangement was in place to bring them to church today. They swept. In fact, one of them I called early in the morning. And then he told me that they are doing some work at home. I said, you can't leave the work for a couple of hours, come to church and go. He said he would do so. He swept. The other person, when I called him, he didn't pick up. Then the next time I called, he had turned off the phone. So it was a very clear message. Am I going to give up on them? I'm not going to give up on them. Especially with what God has reminded me of. I'm going to continue watching. I'm going to press on with them. Because there is a season of waiting. The season of waiting. Hallelujah. And then the last season is the harvest time. And usually that's what we are interested in. Oh, how we are in a hurry to see the harvest. How we are in a hurry to see that the seeds that we planted have germinated, have grown, and have borne fruits. It's so nice to see it. If you're a farmer, you planted and you see the harvest. And when the harvest comes, the season of reaping, according to the calendar of biblical Israel, we are looking at April and June. And at this time, the crops have matured and you can gather them. So now the farmer who planted the seed and who waited patiently is now ready to enjoy the fruits of his labor, is now ready to enter the harvest season. And what a nice season it is. It is the same with the church work. There is harvest time. And that harvest time, there's a season for it. You can't rush it. You have to take your time and just plant and water. But believe that God himself will bring the harvest. Not everybody will respond to the gospel immediately you share the gospel with them. It takes time. Some people will respond immediately. Some will respond after weeks. Some will respond after months. Some will respond after years. And there are some people, they may reject you today. But it doesn't mean that the seed that you planted did not enter. Because when you plant the seed and it goes into the ground, you don't see it. It doesn't look like anything is happening there. But there are things going on. There's a process that is going there. You can see, but God can see. You don't know what is happening, but God knows exactly what is happening. But there is certainly a harvest time. And there's a period where the seeds that you planted will give rise to a great harvest. Not all the seeds result in a harvest, but some of the seeds give rise to a harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in conclusion, I've shared all of this with us to encourage us and to tell us that we should never stop sowing and planting God's word. We should continue praying for people. We should continue inviting them to church. We should continue following them up. We should not be discouraged when they prove stubborn. We should continue. We should press on. We should press on. Because a day will come when we'll begin to have this, the harvest. So we've been through a month of community outreach and social impact. We've seen some harvest. Perhaps we've not seen all the harvest we want to see. But we mustn't give up. And this message is to encourage somebody that go back to the person that you invited. You see, some of you, it doesn't take long, then you freaked out. You want to even delete their numbers. And said, oh. Me bulu sane hujino. Nke ba oni wo ya heaven no, osumo no ya heaven. Ko ya heaven o ba nyo ya o hell ye. To which what you're saying is that I've come to you, I'm telling you about Jesus, inviting you to heaven, and you are bluffing. If you don't want to go to heaven, you can go to hell. Please, we don't do that. Abotre, tell the person sitting by you, Pachonya Abotre Kakrama Mewatsi. Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, let's continue planting the seed of God's word. Let's continue watering the seed of God's word. Let's not be quick to give up on people. Let's not be quick to write off people. And then let's also not put unnecessary pressure on ourselves. And this is what God was talking to me about. You see that Pastor Joe is laughing at me because he knows, and it's from, honestly, it's a heart that I have to see God's work going on well. That's what's behind it. But somebody like me must understand that I shouldn't put too much pressure on myself and feel anxious because I haven't seen certain fruits or we haven't reaped certain harvest. Today is behold your fruits. I can't see them. I cannot see the fruits at all. But I must not be discouraged. And I must continue planting. I must continue watering. And I must believe that enyekwa, the harvest will come. And by the way, the harvest is not my work. It's God who brings the harvest. All we do is to go in to reap what God has produced. I'm just a reaper, but I'm not responsible for the harvest. That's something we have to understand. So our duty and our work is, let's continue planting the seed of God's word. Let's continue watering what we have planted. Let's trust God. Let's not give up. Let's press on. Let's persevere. That's why it says that we should not be weary in doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we faint not. And God will bring the increase at the end of the day. So I've shared this message with us. I hope that it has brought a lot of encouragement to us. And we are just going to press on with the work of the ministry. I've shared with you about the seed, the rain, and the harvest. May the Spirit of God continue to encourage us and strengthen us as we press on to carry out the work. Can I have an amen? All right. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, my friend, somebody invited you to church today. Perhaps you didn't want to come, but he compelled you to. But I want you to understand that you're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. You are here because God is looking for you. And he's not looking for you to hurt you or harm you or mess your life up. He's looking for you to bless you, to make your life worth living, to give you a satisfying life, to give you a purposeful life, to help take your burdens and your troubles away. That is why he's looking for you. And this morning, you have an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You want to say, Pastor, can you please pray with me? I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to him. I realize that over this period of time, God has been planting. He's used different people to plant the seed of his word into my heart. Others have come to water that seed. I can sense in my heart that the harvest time is ready. And today, the Bible says, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You want me to pray for you? You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Perhaps you're even watching me right now. You're watching me and I can't see you, but hey, God can see you. And you need to take a decision for Jesus today, right at this moment, as you're watching this live streaming or as you're watching this video much later. But you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, can you just lift up your right hand wherever you are? And I'm going to pray for you that Jesus will come into your heart. God bless you. I see your hands. I see your hands. Lift them up very clearly. Don't be shy. Don't be shy at all. Don't be shy. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. Thank you. I see your hands. I see your hands. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted your hand, I don't want you to change your mind. And I don't want you to do anything but what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to move from where you are and just come to me right now. Don't change your mind. I'm not going to harm you. So if you've raised your hand, come. All right? Come to me right now. I saw you've raised your hand. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. It's between you and your God. If you raise your hand, I want you to come to me right now. Come. If you raise your hand, come. I saw about 5 of you there. So you were waiting for one person to move so that you can come. God bless you, my dear. There were 2 other people who raised their hands. Don't be afraid. Just come. Just come to Jesus and you can face me this way. Okay? Come to Jesus right now. Come. If you saw them raise their hands and they are trying to change, just invite them to come right now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. God bless you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps you are also here today, but you realize that, yes, you gave your life to Christ some time ago, but you sort of slipped away. And things are not the way they are supposed to be. But maybe today you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. All right? If you want to do that, I want you to come forward and join these ones also. Listen, it's between you and your God. Don't be concerned about what people think, how they feel about you. It's between you and your God. Salvation is an individual affair. And you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Can you come and join these ones before I pray for them? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You want to rededicate your life to Christ? Can you just step forward at this time? God bless you. All right. My dear friends, I'm going to pray with you. All right? I'm just going to say the words and I want you to repeat them after me. Listen, many years ago, I also went to church. The pastor preached and he made what we call an altar call, which is to invite people to come to Jesus. I was sitting close to the back. I moved all the way from there to the front. I didn't really fully understand what was happening, but I prayed the prayer. And since then, my life has not been the same. And what God has done for me, He will do for you also. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I'll say the words and I want you to repeat them after me, but mean everything that you're saying. And we're going to all encourage you by praying the same prayer. Let's pray together. Close your eyes and let's pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I come to you just as I am. I've realized that I don't really know you, that I'm actually a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my master. I will follow you and I will not turn back. I thank you, Father. I am saved. I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. I give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.